Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey, and welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with Randy and Justin. No happy songs today. It's sad news today. How you guys doing, though?
Oh, sad.
How you doing, Randy?
I'm sad as well. No happy songs.
Oh.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, we have to start the show with more sad news. Seems we've been doing this a lot lately, but Adam West, TV's Batman, unfortunately passed away earlier this week, or I guess over the weekend, and he will be sorely missed. I think we all are pretty fond of Mr. Batman. I know Justin in particular is an enormous fan of the 60s Batman. So, Justin, when did you find out, and how much did it suck?
I found out Saturday morning. I actually had some people over on Friday, and they had never seen the Batman movie that was made in the 60s, you know, where he has to go up against, him and Robin go up against the entire rogues gallery. Yeah. And with the dehydration machine and all that such. And they hated every second of it, and I'm just laughing and eating it up. And then I go to bed that night, and then Saturday morning, that's the news that I woke up to. And I was devastated. What are the odds that I show them that movie, And then he passed away at some point Friday night? That's so sad. I'm enjoying and laughing his take on the Caped Crusader, and he's passing away at that moment. That just seems really weird to me.
Yeah, and I think you even said something a couple of podcasts ago. It might have been when we were talking about Bill Paxton passing or someone else passing, to where you're like, "Someone protect Adam West," or you said something yeah. like. When Adam West passed, I'll be really sad. I remember you were like Babe Ruth. You called your shot.
Yeah, so sad. Just devastated. I mean, what's weird, though, is that I didn't really watch this Batman until the 1989 Batman came out in theaters. That's when Fox sort of brought it back into syndication, and it was on the weekends and Monday through Friday kind of thing, and I was just gobbling up every little bit of Batman I could get, and I instantly fell in love with that series.
Yeah, it was about the time of the 89 Batman. I was probably aware of the show, but that was when I started watching it in earnest, when it was on like every day. I remember going to work with my mom, and like they had a TV there, and that's what you'd watch. It was like I Love Lucy, and then 66 Batman. <Yeah. laughs> those were your options.
It always had the cliffhanger, yeah. and then there would always be two episodes in a row, so you always got to see what happened.
Yeah. Tune in next time. Same bad channel. Same bad time.
Same bad channel. Yeah.
Will the Cape Crusader make it another day? Will Simmons' dastardly plan finally come to fruition?
Yeah. It's just funny that Batman is such a brooding and miserable sucker that Adam West decided to make him more campy and play him with a smile on his face and have a good time, and he's your happy go lucky Batman as opposed to your swear to me sort of Christian Batman. Bale Batman. Very, very much polar opposites. Of course, there's no real wrong answer on who your favorite Batman is, but mine is no longer on this earth, and it makes me sad. Randy, what about you? You're a sucker from Adam West too, right?
Oh, I am. I mean, summer of 1989, when the first Batman movie came out, they were scrambling for any Batman material that was out there, and that's where the Batman 66 TV series kind of resurfaced and caught my attention. And I remember every day after school, like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, after the cartoons were done, the Disney afternoon was done, and the news was starting to come on, the adult shows, that's when I got to watch Batman. and I remember just, it was so opposite of how the movie was, but something about it was just so charming that I couldn't help but just be enthralled by it. And I absolutely loved it. So yeah, it is a truly sad time.
it's funny, Justin, you mentioned how different his take on Batman was, in that most like DC people who work at DC or worked at DC at the time credit that for saving Batman. Like Batman, like the comic Batman was dying, or you know, some would already consider it dead. No one was buying it, and it wasn't until, you know, the 66 Batman came out that people started to pick up Batman again. And, you know, Batman really didn't get what was kind of had a resurgence and a renaissance. And then it didn't become, you know, dark and brooding until like Frank Miller's, you know, Dark Knight Returns, you know, 20 years later. But yeah, it's kind of nice, you know, this old icon, Adam West, he got to have like a second career with like Family Guy, mm-hmm. to where I think a lot of people some people may only know him from Family Guy. So it was nice that he got to kind of come back and be appreciated for all these years. Like people are like, oh yeah, we still do like you. And even he got to even got to voice Batman in those Batman 66 animated shows, which there's still one that hasn't been released yet. So I'm sure that'll pack another emotional punch when we hear him for the final time. And I'm sure Family Guy, kind of like they did with Carrie Fisher, they'll do a send off episode to him. Mm-hmm. But my only interaction with the man was like 5 seconds. It was Randy and I, and we had stumbled into the wrong room at Comic Con, and like you know, Comic Con, they have the individual panels and they have press panels and they have like press one on ones. And we were supposed to be on the round table with in the press conference for Batman, but we stumbled into the one-on-ones. And Randy and I sat there. We got our spot. No one said anything. And we let him conduct all his interviews with the other outlets. And then as soon as he was done with his last one, he looked at me. I reached out. I shook his hand. I said, oh, a pleasure to meet you, Mr. West. I guess we're your last interview. Randy went to roll tape. And the PR guy's like, wait a minute. You're not supposed to be in here, you assholes. And I was like, oh, sorry, because it was someone we knew. I said, sorry, so-and-so. You know, I thought we stumbled into the wrong room. I just thought maybe we could squeeze in like a quick little two-minute thing. And Adam West was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Like, he was like the nicest guy about it. But the PR guy wasn't very nice about it. Yeah.
Laughed like, you out of the room.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. But Adam West was, he was super cool. He was willing to do it. You know, he was couldn't be more cordial. We listened to him do all the other interviews, and he was, seemed like the nicest guy on the planet, so.
Absolutely.
He will be missed.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. I lucked out. I got called on during that press conference. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you ask him?
I asked him at the time when they were, or in the 60s, when he had access to the Bat computer, and he could ask it any question he wanted, and it would come up with the answer. How absurd was that? At that time, compared to, you know, talking about Google, the power of Google right now. It was basically the Google machine of the 60s. And I remember he was saying that, you know, they thought it was the craziest thing in the world. And now that's something that we do every single day of our lives.
Yeah. Now everyone in their pocket has the
back computer. Own back computer. Yeah. That's fucking absurd.
That's a good question. You go in places, Justin. You a journalist.
Hmm.
You will sorely be missed, but now to the living. Black Panther. Hey, the trailer. You guys watched it. What'd you think about that, Randy?
I was so excited. I went looking for Wakanda, but I looked in the wrong place. Apparently, I looked in South America, but you know what? It wasn't in South America. It was in Africa all along.
Are you mocking Andy Serkis' performance?
I'm mocking a ridiculous line in the voiceover of the trailer. It's like, how do you misplace an entire goddamn country?
It got missed. Didn't you see Civil War?
I saw Wonder Woman. I guess you could have it like all shielded and shit.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Good for DC, good for Marvel.
Yeah. And is that your only takeaway? Did you enjoy the rest of it, or were you
actually
just taken out of it?
No, it looks pretty badass. And, I mean, literally, it looks amazing. It's very interesting looking and very highly stylized. Everything from, you know, the way it's shot, the camera angles and the color and everything. It's just, it looks like it's going to be a different looking Marvel film. So that's kind of fun. I like it. I've been kind of lukewarm about a lot of Marvel's offerings as of late. But I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of tired of the same old characters and I need me a little Black Panther.
Oh.
All right. What about you, Justin?
No Hero Baby. Yeah, I liked it. That was cool. I liked the music. That's all I got.
That's right.
Spaceships.
That was fun. Yeah. I liked that it looks different than the rest. Like, all the other Marvel movies look the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you got very few exceptions. Guardians has a slightly different color palette, but a lot of it looks the same. Tor, this looks significantly different, and it looks like it could be a really fun ride. And, you know, Ryan Coogler, he directed Creed, Fruitvale Station. Michael B. Jordan is going to be in it. You know, Chadwick Boseman.
Who is he?
He's going to be a bad guy. I think he's going to be, like, the villain.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I don't have his name in front of me. But, yeah, I think he'll be the villain. You got Angela Bassett in this movie. You got some high talent in here. It's like it's almost like Marvel was mad that they got beat to the punch by having the first woman superhero, that they wanted to lock down like every prominent African American actor to be in this movie, and they all are amazing, and the director's amazing, and it looks amazing. I have really high expectations for this film, and I hope I'm not let down.
Eric Killmonger is Michael B. Jordan's name.
Sounds like a villain.
Yeah. I know jack shit about Black Panther. The only time I ever came across him when I was reading comic books was when he would be in maybe 6 or 7 panels of, like, I don't even know, just some random, like, stand-in. You know, like, Tony Stark flies to some place, and then he's, like, lost, and there's a tree, and then he looks up, and then there's fucking Black Panther up on the branch. You know what I mean? It's like, I have no real following whatsoever of Black Panther. He was badass in the Civil War movie, and I can't wait to see this, but the entire movie is going to be 100% a surprise to me, because I literally know jack about the character.
Yeah, my only point of reference is that since I was a big X-Men guy, he was married to Storm for a long time. So he was Storm's husband.
You mentioned Angela Bassett. I like her a lot.
Yeah, what's love got to do with it?
And that's what I thought of today. As I was driving home from work, that song was on the radio. And I couldn't even... the only other song I can think of that's sung by Tina Turner is Rolling on a River with Ike. Yeah. Those are the only two songs that I know that she has done.
My sister was a big fan, so I know a couple more, but those are the good ones.
Mm-hmm. No, she's great.
It's a sad movie.
I like Angela Bassett. Strange Days, that movie's cool.
Yeah. Ralph Fiennes, mm-hmm. whatever he was going by back then. That's some technology that needs to be created. That, like, squib technology where you can... live, like, instead of, like, watching things, you experience it. Mm-hmm. You can, like, be like other people and other genders and other races and whatever you want to be, you can be.
Sounds fair.
I like that. What would you be, Randy?
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Ooh. Yeah. I have been known to sling a web or two.
I like that, like, the demo that, like, Ray Fiennes shows people is, like, them taking a shower as a girl.
Yes.
I think I'd, I think we'd all, I think that'd be a popular secret, desire of most people. Just spend a day as the other gender.
Sure.
See what makes them tick.
I would just be that sad man just staring at my boobs all day.
Playing so, with them.
That would
soaping them up.
That would definitely be me. I am just a simple creature, guys. So bad.
Why would you go out and do anything when you got two perfectly good things to do right there?
Don't I know it? That's exactly what I would do. You know, I still quote that movie. There's this part at the beginning when these thugs are in the car, and the one guy's like, man, if we were driving any slower, we'd be parked. And anytime I'm behind somebody that's driving really slow, I say that. If I was going any slower, I'd be parked. Just realize
that. Damn you, Lawrence Fishburne. Why you gotta hit Tina Turner?
Yeah, I know, right? He's the worst.
You're a bad man, Mr. Fishburne.
On the plus side, she got her group back.
She did, yes. Many years later. Who's not going to get the group back? Sony Pictures It's an outrage. They've decided that they're going to take their movies and they're going to sanitize them and release them on home video cassette.
Oh.
Randy, as a filmmaker, does this offend you?
I mean, not really, because when you think about it, for years and years, they've been kind of homogenizing movies to put them on national TV, you know, the free TV, not the pay TV stuff. So we've been getting clean versions of movies for years. I mean, I grew up watching a sanitized version of Revenge of the Nerds, and it wasn't until I was in my 20s, I shit you not, that I found out there was actual nudity in the film, and Booger talking about Bush and shit. I'm like, oh my god, this is an entirely different movie.
Like, this has become my favorite movie?
Even in the TV version, he totally raped the chick at the end. And I mean, there's no getting around that one. That's the elephant of the room. But, you know, but shit. You know, I don't know. It's just like releasing an album and they've got like the explicit lyrics version and then there's the Walmart version that's all clean and everything. So on one hand, as an artiste, as a filmmaker, I don't like the idea of somebody else going in with a heavy hand and cutting my shit. But if it gets it out to a larger audience and I am the artist in question and more people are going to see my shit, it's cool. You're always going to have to kowtow to somebody.
Makes sense. Justin, does it make it any worse that, you know, Randy had mentioned, you know, watching things on TV, and I think we've all experienced that, and taped things off of TV and stuff. Does it make it different that they're distributing it? And even though it'll be part of this the collection with the official version, does it make it worse for the filmmaker that they're almost like giving the audience, here's what the filmmaker wanted you to see, here's what maybe you want your kids to see? Does it make it worse that they're maybe capitalizing on it?
I don't know if worse is the right word. I think that options is a good word. like in the case of Randy and Nerds, Revenge of the Nerds, he always enjoyed that movie and he got to sort of work his way up to the age appropriate version. So, I mean, in a way you're asking the wrong guy, because remember, I'm the kid that grew up watching RoboCop. I was like 6 when I saw that. So I've always grew up in a liberal family when it came to cinema. So I don't know. It's weird because I feel like even today, when it comes to kids with comic book movies, the violence is there, but not really. It's always sort of, with the exception of like Logan and Deadpool, most kids can enjoy the comic book movies that are released today. So it's just more money when it comes to theater release. So I really don't see the big deal. I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I agree with you. I too came from a very liberal family who didn't really care what we watched. So I watched, I watched Revenge of the Nerds as probably like a 9-year-old full version probably. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Seth Rogen's making a big deal out of it. It seems kind of like much ado about nothing, because they're doing a sample run of 20 films, and only 2 of them are R-rated. One of them, Step Brothers, and I can't remember the other version. To where, I mean, if you're going to let your kid watch Step Brothers, you're probably just going to let them watch the full version. It's not like it's a pretty raunchy movie. I can't imagine what they're sanitizing out of movies like Spider-Man, like The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not really any profanity or any questionable, you know, dialogue. It just seems like a weird thing to put out. And I don't know who these really are marketed to. It seems like such a small market to like appease. Like, it seems like they're trying to make some group happy that's complaining about, you know, some insert violent film that you've released, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Super Nintendo did with like Mortal Kombat. You know, Mortal Kombat, you know, everyone said Mortal Kombat was all bloody and like going to lead to the downfall of Western civilization.
Yeah.
And, you know, Super Nintendo made a version that didn't have blood. Had sweat.
Which was appalling.
Makes no sense.
Appalling, to say the least. But like, you know, for me, my Revenge of the Nerds was actually Police Academy. When I was a kid, that was one of my all-time favorite movies. And I still remember the edited versions where, like, Lieutenant Harris says, like, no, instead of nobody fucks with me, he's like, nobody. And then it's like this, please. It's like this random voice dubbed over it. He's like, nobody plays with me. And he shoots his gun into the air. And when I was a kid, I always thought that was weird, but I wasn't you know, hindered in any way. It didn't take away my enjoyment from the movie. So, as a little boy, I got to enjoy an amazing movie like Police Academy, even though it was edited. So, it's just, I don't know. I'm totally cool with it, especially since it's bundled with a regular version of the movie. To me, it makes sense. Right.
Yeah, I think maybe if they were trying to sell a strictly sanitized version, I think there would be a little more leeway for an uproar. But for people to complain about this, it just seems silly. Because, I mean, you go on like planes and stuff like that. You know, any kind of public, you know, showing of films is usually sanitized as well. So
there you go.
Quit your bitching. Yeah. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Speaking of quitting your bitching, I know you guys didn't check out The Mummy, and I recommend you don't.
No good?
No, it's probably, it's without a doubt the worst directed film of this year, and it may be one of the worst directed films of all time, and it really made me appreciate the directorial stylings of Zack Snyder. Alex Kurtzman has no business directing high-budget films. This is his second film he directed. He directed a film called People, which starred Chris Pine and Elizabeth Banks. And I'm sure you're not familiar with it. It's a pretty low-budget indie movie. But the general plot is Chris Evans' father dies. He was kind of estranged from his father. He goes back for the funeral, finds a girl that he thinks is pretty, wants to try to court her, finds out it's his half-sister. So like any rational person, he decides to introduce himself to the girl as like a total stranger who they've never met, so they can get romantically involved. And once Elizabeth Banks starts to reciprocate the feelings, then he lets her know, just so you know, we're also half brother, half sister. So hope that's not a deal breaker. And so the whole movie is about Chris Pine wanting to fuck his sister.
This is People Like Us? That's what it's called?
It's just called People. Just People. And so that was his directorial debut. It's terrible. Now we have this movie. And I knew, you know, you're in trouble when the credits come in for the movie and there are 7 writing credits. There's 4 screenplay by and 3 story by credits. And I had a little bit of hope because one of the screenplay credits is Christopher McQuarrie, who Tom Cruise brings onto all of his films and who is, you know, he directed Rogue Nation. He wrote Edge of Tomorrow. He wrote a lot of Tom Cruise's later better movies. But he was recently on a podcast the other day, a screenwriting podcast, and he said that he wouldn't tell us the name of the movie that he was working on, but he tried to talk the director out of a couple decisions that would have made the movie better, but the director decided that he knew better. And I think I know what he's talking about because it's not a huge spoiler. So the way the girl mummy makes more mummies is by making out with them. Like it's a very sexual thing. Like it's not like she's like breathing in them or something like that. Like she's physically like making out with them is the best way I can make it. And it really kind of like makes her character weird. And when the big reveal comes at the end, it's even more sexist. It's hard to explain without spoiling the movie for you guys. So I'm sure I know Randy will probably see it because he likes mummies.
I do. And I will eventually see it just so I can. I hear there's an Easter egg from the original Mummy movies. And by original, I mean the Brendan Fraser ones.
Right. The remakes. There is.
The original remakes.
There's a fun little nod. And I think what really bugged me the most is I love Tom Cruise. Like, even though he went crazy, I've always loved Tom Cruise. He makes great movies. We're going to talk about a lot of them in a little bit. And the one thing even Tom Cruise haters can never say is that, like, he doesn't give it his all. Like, Tom Cruise jumps. No one works harder than Tom Cruise. You've never heard anything about him. He's never late. He's always early to set, always gets his work done, always, you know, those ridiculous stunts he likes to do for Mission Impossible and stuff like that. You know, he doesn't have to do that. He can sit back and enjoy the later days of his acting career. But he's totally bored in this film, and it shows. Like, he's just not he's not engaged in this film, and I think that falls back on the direction of the film as well. It just doesn't seem to have a clear narrative. Like, you know, the original Mummy way back when with Boris Karloff, you know, that was a horror film. And when they remade it in the 90s, Stephen Sommers made the really wise choice of not trying to recreate the horror vibe, but instead he made it an action movie, and he made a great action movie. And it's almost like he wanted to try to do both. And by trying to do both, he accomplished neither. And so it was just a real letdown. And I just was left really, really bummed. And there's a pretty sizable twist. I don't know if it's been ruined for you guys at the end of the film, and it just kind of falls flat. And who you thought was someone might be someone else, and who you thought that other person was might be a different person. It's just a hot mess. I was just really, really, really disappointed.
That's too bad.
Yeah. And I wish you guys had seen it so I could bitch about the twist, but
hell no.
It's all right.
Well, they ain't gonna watch that movie. I mean, I like Tom Cruise too, but it looks awful.
Yeah. Are you gonna watch it, Randy? Or Justin?
I'll Redbox it, but I'm not gonna go see it at the motion picture show.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it in like 6 months then.
Yeah, talk about it tomorrow, probably.
Wouldn't it be in Redbox tomorrow?
I think so.
So, with E3 going on this week, there wasn't a ton of movie and TV news that we normally cover. There's a little ton of video game news, but we have our own podcast, the Pixelated Podcast, that's going to cover all of that on Friday. So, you know, make sure you listen to that. So, with The Mummy, and you know, to show that Tom Cruise is an amazing actor, I thought maybe we'd just take a couple minutes to go through Mr. Cruise's filmography and just kind of reminisce at the varied and important career that was Tom Cruise. That sound like fun?
Sounds like a good romp.
And I'm not buying it. You seem so much happier on the Pixelated Podcast, Justin. Is it me?
I just know.
Maybe
more.
We need to record on Friday mornings.
I know more about video games than I do movies.
Do you like Stephen K. James more than me?
No.
Cry myself to sleep. All right. Well, let's go back to a simpler time. A time called 1983. The movie, Risky Business. Tom Cruise staying home. His parents going out of town. Has everyone seen Risky Business?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised. I thought for sure I was going to get a no out of you, Randy. Kind of introduced Tom Cruise as the sex symbol. He had been in Taps and like one or two other movies before.
But
this was kind of like his breakout film.
I like Taps.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's Cadet Shaw, man.
He is. Cadet Captain David Sean.
That's it. He's a fucking badass in that movie. It doesn't end well for the cadets, but it's a good movie. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a problem. And then he followed up Risky Business with, you know, Risky Business being one of his better movies with arguably one of his worst movies, Ridley Scott's 1985 Legend.
Oh, shit.
There are two sides of the coin on Legend. Those who love Legend, those who hate Legend. Randy, what side of the coin are you on?
I'm when the coin lands like perfectly vertical and it doesn't land on a side? I've never seen it, so I don't have a side.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Never seen it.
Oh, man.
It's pretty terrible.
Change of life, dude. I love that movie, and the music is fantastic. Oh, man. There's this one part, though. There's like these three little assholes that are like on a mission to kind of for darkness. And one of the guys goes, "Adios, amigos." It's like, wait a minute, they speak Spanish in this fantasy world. It's pretty weird. But I love the shit out of Legend.
I will give you that Darkness is probably one of the coolest, like, designed characters in cinema. Like, he looks just terrifying. But, yeah, no, it's a...
It's awesome. I love that movie.
Yeah. And then we get into what we would call the real first kind of big run for Tom Cruise. And so in 86 we have Top Gun.
Oh yeah.
And then in 86 we have The Color of Money. And then in 88 we have Cocktail. Also in 88 we have Rain Man. 89 we have Born on the 4th of July. 90 Days of Thunder. 92 Far and Away. 92 A Few Good Men, 93 Firm, 94 Interview with a Vampire. I mean, that is a that's an impressive run. I'm not skipping anything. That's just hit after hit after hit. And you know, what out of those kind of movies stands out to you, Justin?
Okay, Top Gun.
All of them.
I saw most of these in the theater actually. So Top Gun, love it. I don't really care for The Color of Money or Cocktail, but I mean, I was 8, and so they weren't really for me. Then Rain Man, I saw when I was a kid. It's okay, nothing horrible about it, but it's not like an enjoyable movie. Born on the 4th of July, I never liked. Days of Thunder, I've seen that movie at least 10,000 times. It's one of my favorites. And, I mean, I even had the email address, Rubbing is Racing, for crying out loud. Far and Away, not a fan of. A Few Good Men, like you, I watch that movie. Whatever part I come in at when it's on TV, I watch it to the end. Absolutely love that. That was kind of a one and done. I think I've seen it twice in the 2 decades it's been out. But I never need to watch it again. Interview with the Vampire. Love that movie. Love the soundtrack. The score is badass in Interview with the Vampire. But
I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
Everything you said is smart. What about you, Randy? Anything pop at you? Were you a big Cruise fan in the late 80s, early 90s?
I mean, I enjoyed every single one of his movies. And like you said, everything... You can just read his IMDb chronologically, and everything in that time period was a hit. I really liked Interview with the Vampire at the time, even though I thought going into it that there's no way that that I would buy him in that kind of role. But I guess when it comes down to it, he doesn't really age, so maybe he is a vampire.
It's very true. And it's funny because like, nowadays he's really trying to be an action star. You know, all his movies are action, action, action. To where back then, he was really trying to be like a dramatic actor and take like these varied parts and really put his heart and soul into like these really great, you know, like mid-level dramas and, you know, the kind of movies they don't make anymore, which is unfortunate because he was great. And then 96, he starts a period where he reached the point of his career to where he wants to like start working with different directors. And so, you know, in 96 we have Mission Impossible because he wanted to work with Brian De Palma. You know, also in 96 we have Jerry Maguire where he wanted to work with Cameron Crowe. In 99 he works with Kubrick on Eyes Wide Shut. And then in 99 he works with Paul Thomas Anderson in Magnolia. And so that's kind of like this great little like kind of experimental phase. Out of those, personally for me, I love Jerry Maguire. I know it's a fun film, and I really, really like it. I was out of the Mission Impossibles. The first one is my least favorite. I think all De Palma movies are like overly complicated for no reason. And just so he can be like, oh, you didn't see that coming. Huh? Unless he smokes his cigarette or something. What about you, Randy? I know you're a big Eyes Wide Shut fan because you love Kubrick.
God, that movie it haunts me to this day. I've only seen it once all the way through, and it was at a movie theater, right? And it was late at night, and I didn't know exactly what I was getting myself into. I'm going off on a tangent here, but Fidelio, you know, it's like I've always remember. I've tried using that password a few times in my life because I've heard about these like underground clandestine sex parties in LA, and I don't know, I've never found one, but I know they exist, but my passwords never seem to get me through the door. Maybe I need to find a new movie to derive passwords from, but again,
like Walt sent me.
Yeah, I'm getting off onto a tangent. What was the question?
Would any of those movies stand out to you? I singled out Eyes Wide Shut because I figured you would have a lurid story, which you did.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That and I also have lurid tales about the Mission Impossible series, but that's just that's just back of the theater shenanigans. Yeah.
Well, what about you, Justin? Anything stand out? Magnolia, Eyes Wide Shut, Jerry Maguire, Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Magnolia was. I'm probably one of the few people on the planet that actually enjoy that movie. And I say enjoy it because I think it's actually funny. There's all these people that are at their worst, and they're at this crisis in their lives, but I find joy in it for some reason. And he was Frank T.J. Mackey, and he was this obnoxious douche, and I thought he was incredible in that movie. So Magnolia is my standout of this bunch. Eyes Wide Shut, like Randy, I did see it in the theater. I actually saw it twice. And
You're a fan.
Well, the first time I saw it, I paid to see it. And the second time, it was a free movie on the military base, and I had nothing else going on. So I decided to go watch it. Like, maybe I missed something. And I was like, well, let me give it another go. But no, it's terrible.
Yeah. When Nicole Kidman's telling him, like, just, like, graphic details about how she, like, had sex with the other dude, and I'm like, oh.
Sailor.
Dang. Yeah, some sailor. I'm like, oh, wow, shit. It's gonna be like that, is it?
And the music with that, just the piano. The don, 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 don. And then it's like,
you're making the little hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Holy shit.
Oh, that's great.
Gotta get your Nalin's mask.
And your...
I'm telling you. Haunting. Haunting movie.
All right, after Magnolia, in 2000, he made Mission Impossible 2, arguably the most sexist movie in the history of cinema. If you go back and watch it, it's pretty bad. Then he reteamed with Cameron Crowe in 2001 to make Vanilla Sky, which I actually recently rewatched, and it was actually a lot better in my rewatch. I was able to like appreciate some of it. The first time I watched that, I was just like, no, this movie sucks. Then in 2002, he teams up for the first time with Steven Spielberg. Won't be the last time. 2003, he does The Last Samurai. And 2004, he goes with Michael Mann in the criminally underrated movie Collateral.
Ooh, that's a good
one. Yeah, it's a very good one. So Mission Impossible 2, Vanilla Sky, Minority Report, Last Samurai, and Collateral. Anything pique your interest there, Justin? Anything you want to poke about?
I think Collateral was pretty good. That scene when he's in the nightclub just murdering fools made Tom Cruise into like a legitimate badass. Like it wasn't over the top like Mission Impossible jumping on a boat in a helicopter and all this other bullshit. It was like straight up hitman violence, and it just in my eyes was one of his most baddest moments ever in cinema.
And that's the movie he plays a villain?
Yeah. He's got like that frosty top.
Yeah, that's coming back to me.
Jamie Foxx is the taxi driver, and he has him drive him around to his different hits.
Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Yeah, it's pretty great, and just like the cold look in his eye was like the first, because you know he's always like this happy, like ha, 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 look at me, guy.
Yeah,
this was like the first time it was like, holy shit, man, Tom Cruise got the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
But you, Rando.
I'm going to have to agree with Justin, though. That's a pretty badass movie. And I was questioning whether or not I'd seen it until I started having flashbacks and memories of it. But, yeah, that was pretty amazing.
And so, yeah, it's important to remember, after Collateral, his next movie is War of the Worlds. But we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the press tour prior to War of the Worlds, which is kind of where a lot of people kind of turned on Tom Cruise for a little bit of time. That he... What's the clinical term? He went batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And that's when he was jumping on Oprah's couch. He was calling Matt Lauer glib. And he was doing stuff that movie stars shouldn't be doing. And he was supposedly like bringing these Scientology tents to try to convert other people. So he was going a dark time. But out of it came another pretty impressive run. War of the Worlds, Mission Impossible 3. And then the movie that I think kind of redeemed him in some people's eyes, his portrayal of Les Grossman in Tropic Thunder. So, three very different roles. You have the War of the Worlds, the Mission Impossible 3, which it was kind of a turning point for the franchise.
Oh, yeah. I liked 3 a lot. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's one Abrams directed.
Yeah, and that had Philip Seymour Hoffman in it.
Yeah, he was really mean in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bad guy. Yeah. And then, of course, Les Grossman.
I didn't even recognize him at first. Like, I was staring at him. I'm like, I feel like I know this guy. And it's weird that I don't know who it is. And then all of a sudden...
Bald and fat?
Yeah, and then it just hit me. I was like, holy shit, dude, that's Tom Cruise. But, I mean, the movie was almost over when I finally realized it was him. When War of the Worlds came out, just before my birthday, and I remember we ate it. That was the Tons of Fun birthday, where we ate at Cheesecake Factory, and you were like, "How was it?" And I'm like, "I don't know, man. It's a lot of running and, and screaming." That was like all I could think of. A lot of running, a lot of screaming, a lot of what have yous. Which the movie was fine until the whole like basement scene with Tim Robbins is just kind of weird.
Weird.
I don't know. What do you guys like World of Worlds?
I really like it. I like that it, like Edge of Tomorrow, which we'll talk about in a second, which I love, is like the Tom Cruise like vulnerable action star. Because like in both of them, he's kind of a pussy at the beginning. sorry to say the word, and I hate it, Justin. He's kind of a P word at the beginning. You know, he's actively cowering. He seems to be a subpar father and stuff like that. But then when shit hits the fan, he has to activate Tom Cruise mode. You know, he's able to do anything to save his daughter. I mean, Sonny lets run over the hill to eventually die. He's like, ah, fuck you. If you want to go, go. You're old enough. I'm not your fucking mom. But he's got to protect Dakota Fanning. So what about you, Randy?
I have very fond memories of War of the Worlds. Saw that at a drive-in theater. And that was the first time I'd been to the drive-in in like a decade, and it was like a big event that we were going to see War of the Worlds. And because of that, and no reason alone, I have a warm memory of that movie. Otherwise, utterly forgettable, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm pretty sure I saw War of the Worlds with you, Randy.
Yeah, we saw it at that Mission Tiki drive-in.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what we saw it with, but yeah, I really like it. I think Spielberg can do no wrong in my eye. And then he did the very strange, he went to the Bryan Singer-directed Valkyrie in 2008. Randy, you're a fan of that time period. How did Valkyrie sit with you?
Well, I thought it was interesting. I think it was based on the true story of a plot to kill Hitler that failed with an explosive that was placed at just the wrong spot to where it wasn't able to kill the Führer. But I thought it was interesting. It was kind of cool seeing him as a German, although it's been years since I've seen the movie, so I don't remember if he had an accent or not, if he tried to do the silly accent. Yeah, but I mean, at that point, in for a penny, in for a pound, you're going to be, you know, you're a Tom Cruise fan, you're going to watch everything he's in. You're a World War II fan, you're going to watch as many World War II movies as you can. You put them both together, and it's like, you know, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Two great things.
Worlds collide. Together.
Yeah. Like, and then
Tom Cruise goes full on action mode from almost here on out. In 2010, he teams up with James Mangold in the equally criminally underrated Night and Day with Cameron Diaz.
Love that movie.
It's so good.
It's hilarious.
He's just so happy. He's like, "Hi, I like your dress."
He's like, dude, why do you keep saying my name? You're making me nervous. She's really funny. She's not really ranked as a comedian. She's in a lot of really funny movies, and I don't think she gets nearly enough credit. Cameron Diaz, that is.
I like when she goes to like her firefighter ex-boyfriend or whatever, yeah. And Tom Cruise takes her away, and he's like, "Look, I need you to stay in this booth." You stay in this booth, and he does it. He shoots him like he's like, "Oh, don't worry, clean it out. You'll be okay in a second. I'll probably give you a minute."
Yeah. Yeah, Rodney, I think it was his name.
Yeah, Rodney.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, I'm the guy.
What, did you see Night and Day, Randy?
I did. I absolutely love that movie.
Oh, my God. It's funny. So good. Tom Cruise is the funniest. Yeah. And then after that, he did what a lot of people consider the best of the Mission Impossible movies, Ghost Protocol in 2011 with Brad Bird. He did Rock of the Ages in 2012. He also did the out-of-nowhere fun trip that was Jack Reacher in 2012. And then 2013, he did Oblivion with Joseph Kosinski, who's probably going to direct Top Gun 2. These are all pretty standard action fare. Anything stand out from that list, Randy?
Trying to think. Have I seen any of those?
Well, you've seen Ghost Protocol, right? Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol?
I don't think so. I stopped watching after the third one.
Oh, that one's good, oh, really? Man.
They got pretty good.
That's the one in Dubai when they're climbing up on that crazy skyscraper.
never have I been more like afraid of heights than during. Like, there's a scene where he has to, like, he has these gloves that he can climb up this Dubai skyscraper, and of course they start to malfunction when he's like stuck up there. So
yeah, he's like in space. Definitely. And then they start to wimp out on him.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Renner, and too. That was like, you know, he had already been around for a little bit, but he was a badass in that movie, Ghost Protocol, that is.
Yeah, they were going to pass the torch on it. They thought Ethan Hunt was done. You know, Mission Impossible 3 semi-underperformed, and they figured that people were just tired of Tom Cruise after all of his shenanigans, and they were going to replace Tom Cruise's character, Ethan Hunt, with Jeremy Renner's character. And obviously that didn't happen because this movie became a huge hit. So you didn't see that, Randy. Do you see Jack Reacher?
I did not.
That's pretty fun. It's on Netflix. It's worth checking out. Did you see Oblivion from your boy Joe Kaczynski from Tron Legacy?
I don't believe I did.
No, it's not that good.
That's the one where like Morgan Freeman's like homeless and there's maybe aliens in the football field. I don't know.
Yes, that is a Lucite.
That's what you get from the trailer.
Yes.
A bunch of homeless people play football, and Morgan Freeman's in charge.
Was he like living in some like platform up in the clouds, kind of, and occasionally going down to check on? I did see that one, yeah.
Yes, he was.
He was living in Cloud City.
Yeah, his human bosses told him that he was like a scout, and he was supposed to help depollute the planet. But in reality, like, they were the ones doing the bad stuff, and he didn't realize it. Other stuff that, you know. Other stuff. And then 2014 comes back with a bang. 2014, Edge of Tomorrow. 2015, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. And then two pretty terrible movies, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, and The Mummy. I know you haven't seen The Mummy. I'm assuming neither of you have seen the second Jack Reacher movie?
No. You said it's no good?
Yeah. It's no good. It was very disappointing after such a great trailer. But I argue that Rogue Nation and Edge of Tomorrow are both fantastic films.
Yeah, I can't decide which Mission Impossible is my favorite. I really like 3, Ghost Protocol, and Rogue Nation.
Yeah, I mean, if someone had said their favorite Mission Impossible was any of those three, I'd be like, okay, that's legit. But, you know, I think that probably 4 is my favorite by just like a hair, but I like 5 a lot. I think the villain's strong at 5. What about you, Randy? I know you didn't see the other Mission Impossibles, since you haven't seen the good ones, but you saw Edge of Tomorrow, right?
I did, and
Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah. Are we ever going to get a sequel to that?
Yes. It's in the works right now.
Live, Die, Repeat. Good. Repeat.
Yeah. Yes. The worst name. You think he's joking, right? That's the title of the film right now.
Yeah, no, I know. I remember that very storied ad campaign, how it kept flip-flopping.
Yes. So yeah, that is the sequel is currently called Live, Die, Repeat. Repeat.
Again.
Yeah, again. Part 2.
But it'd be like one of those things like... I was just going to say, that would be one of those things like More American Graffiti. Nobody went to go see it because they thought they were just re-releasing the first American Graffiti movie.
Yeah,
I know I'm making a nearly 40-year-old reference here, but same basic thing. That's a terrible name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good. But it could be interesting in that, you know, the way the first Edge of Tomorrow ended, Emily Blunt's character and Tom Cruise's character, Tom Cruise knows who Emily Blunt is, obviously, because, you know, he's been with her so long. But she doesn't know who he is. And so he is going to have to somehow convince her that, you know, they need to stop whatever they need to stop. And, you know, she's going to be like, who the fuck are you? So I have some high hopes for that film.
And that's also one of Bill Paxton's last great roles, too.
Yeah, as a drill sergeant.
Yeah, Sergeant Farrell. He's fucking the tits in that movie. And I don't say that too often. But he was definitely the tits in that movie.
100% the tits. 187.
So what you're saying is Tom Cruise makes some pretty good movies.
Yeah, yeah. I think we named quite a few movies that were amazing, and he's. If you had to pick just one film, Randy, do you think you could pick a favorite Tom Cruise movie?
Mm. Oh, hands down.
Oh, hands down. Oh, hang on. No, that is so definitive. Well, I almost think we should make a game of trying to guess which one it is.
Okay, before I give any clues, then, do you want to make it a game?
Well, you said hands down. I'm like, damn.
It's going to be silly. Doesn't matter if he's not the main character.
Yeah, someone he's in. What is it, Randy? You can tell us.
Tropic Thunder.
Ooh, ah, all right.
That's a good one.
Not necessarily my favorite movie, but my favorite role of his.
Apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur, with the fur. Yeah, that's pretty good. What about you, Justin?
Days of Thunder. Cole Trickle. Nothing he can't do in a race car.
How about you, Ronnie David?
Burns. I gotta go with my heart, and it's A Few Good Men. Like, it's just a pretty fantastic film from start to finish. And that's gun in my head. Have to pick one. It's hard not to pick something like Top Gun or Edge of Tomorrow, but Few Good Men. It's my gut.
Do you want to get really upset?
I would love to. If you tell me you haven't seen A Few Good Men, I would drive to your house tonight with my DVD.
The only bits of that movie I've ever seen, God, was Randy. In the shuttle at Comic-Con like 4 years ago, and they had it playing on an old VHS deck.
Oh my God.
Are you telling me you have not seen the masterpiece? You have not seen A Few Good Men from start to finish?
Nope.
Oh my God, Randy. Just from a filmmaker perspective, it's worth watching. Like, it's like a masterclass in both writing and directing. Like, the way it's created and put in front of you is just masterful, and it starts like every single famous person in the world at the time. I mean, it's got Tom Cruise, it's got Jack Nicholson, it's got Kiefer Sutherland, it's got
Kevin Bacon.
Moore, it's got Kevin Bacon. I mean, what else do you need?
Yoo-hoo. Bottles of Yoo-hoo.
It's got Yoo-hoo. Oh, Randy, you gotta watch it. Put it on your list. You have a list, right?
It's a very long and growing list.
Well, this one should be closer to the top than some other ones.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
But if you would like to have a fun, semi-ride-inducing list, the good folks at Collider, Adam Chitwood, ranked all of the Tom Cruise movies from 38 down. I wouldn't start. I can start and give you his top 10 real quick.
Sure.
All right, coming number 10. His number 10 Tom Cruise movie was Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation. Then he went Jerry Maguire, Minority Report, Born on the 4th of July.
Minority Report. Did we even talk about that one?
No, we didn't.
Colin Farrell's in that movie.
Colin Farrell's in that movie. I like Minority Report. Colin Farrell is in that movie.
Why didn't we mention that?
We did. It was one of those like blocks where it was like five movies.
But no one cared about it.
It was during that time when he had like a million good movies. Mm. Like it was with Collateral.
Yeah.
That's right. Minority Report, then Born on the 4th of July, then Collateral, then Edge of Tomorrow, War of the Worlds, Risky Business, Top Gun, and A Few Good Men.
I didn't hear Days of Thunder in that list.
It was not. I want to say Days of Thunder was like 12.
That movie's so amazing.
I like Days of Thunder a lot as well.
And that was before Randy Quaid was crazy.
Yeah. I used Days of Thunder as an analogy to one of my wife's friends the other day who had gotten in a car accident and was afraid to drive the freeway. And I'm like, you just got to go through turn four. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
She did not get the reference, nor did she care for my company.
Oh, man. I remember I saw that movie with my mama at Camp Pendleton. That's it. I just remember doing that.
You know, it's not so much the stories that you really gave me, Justin. It's just the detail. It's like I was there.
It's the delivery.
We just weren't ready to go home yet. So we're like, hey, let's go catch a movie. And we watched Days of Thunder, and I loved every second of it. Not to mention, it was my first glimpse at Nicole Kidman.
Oh, that's a good glimpse.
Yes.
Now, were you already a NASCAR fan at the time? Yes. You saw Days of Thunder?
Yes, okay. I was. Racing is a big part of our family. And I ate that shit up, man.
Now, as a racing fan, it was an accurate portrayal. It was something that you were able to latch on to.
No, but it was fun.
I mean, it wasn't a documentary on race car driving?
Yeah, no, not at all. So
you
fake.
Put on special match tires.
Oh, yeah, no. But that's another thing, too, is Robert Duvall, he's a fucking badass, man. I believe that man in every role that he's in. I am a sucker for Robert Duvall.
Yeah, all the way back to the fucking Godfather.
Yeah, he's actually young in those movies. Who knew?
Yeah, he's been around the block a couple times.
I like him in Four Christmases.
He's the dad?
The dad, yeah.
Howard, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Got me a satellite. Oh my god.
So, the installer will be on next Tuesday. No, you cancel it. We install our own stuff.
He was good. That whole movie's good. That's one of those Christmas movies that it's slowly but surely making its way into my top five of favorite Christmas movies. It's become a staple in my house to where I watch that every year now.
Yeah. The Robert Duvall stuff, and then the Nancy Travis stuff with Reese Witherspoon's mom.
Funny.
Those two halves are the best.
God, when they're playing Taboo, forget about it.
Oh, man. And Steve Wiebe, who was the Donkey Kong champion, who was in the movie King of Kong. See, that's like his only acting credit. He plays what's the blonde, her sister's name? Anyways, he plays the guy playing video games, like holding the baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, he's so good with babies. He's so good with kids.
Good shit.
Flip the tube.
Yeah, flip the tube. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of like my favorite Tom Cruise movies. And Days of Thunder. It's hard to give you a top five for sure. But Days of Thunder, Top Gun, Edge of Tomorrow. If I could only pick one Mission Impossible, it would probably be Ghost Protocol. And then just sort of my rando one would be Collateral.
Nice. No Few Good Men, no Interview with a Vampire, no Jerry Maguire, no Magnolia.
So, A Few Good Men I absolutely love. And that's sort of like I tried to go like mostly action for my Tom Cruise movies. And A Few Good Men is just in its own little category, man. That movie is incredible. And I've seen it so many times, but he's not necessarily the reason why it's as great as it is. He's good at it, but it's sort of an ensemble and it's a great story that kind of makes it as powerful as it is.
Yeah, most of the ones you picked are iconic Cruise performances to where, you know, he's not really doing a lot for the bulk of A Few Good Men. You know, it's not really till the end that he becomes Tom Cruise.
He's kind of an idiot for the first hour and a half of the movie.
Yeah, it's Demi Moore and Kevin Pollak doing all like the actual lawyering for like the first two thirds of the movie. So yeah, well that's cool. We got anything else to sign off on, Mr. Tom Cruise, Randy?
Not a darn thing.
Do you think the future is bright? Is still bright for Mr. Cruise?
I think as long as he is still a vampire and never ages, he will have plenty of time to continue making good movies after he gets over this current slump.
Yeah, he's 55 now. Shit. Doesn't look anywhere near that. And I almost get the impression he's trying to make as many action movies as he can while he can. because that's really all he's doing right now. He's not going after those like interesting, quirky roles or trying to like seek out directors now. So, we'll see. What about you, Justin? Anything? Any final takes on Mr. Cruise?
No, man. I feel like I've grown up with him my entire life, so the more the merrier.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure you go to geeklegacy.com. I can't talk today. Geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. You go there now, there's a shit ton of video game news because Justin and Felix just absolutely killed it with their E3 coverage, and the site is just littered with that kind of shit. But if you don't like reading and want to listen to it, Justin and Stephen K. James are going to break it all down for you this Friday on the Pixelated Podcast. Going to be talking nothing but E3, nothing but those terrible trailers for Breath of the Wild DLC that made me like, what? There's two of them already? What? What's happening? But it's why you're there. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @KeithLegacy, and we will see you next time.